Good morning and welcome to our worship today, the first Sunday now after the Easter celebration. Today, the focus of our service is that we learn what the disciples learned, and that is that the importance of the fact that Easter lives on. It lives on in one word, and that would be security. May God bless our time in His Word today. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let us worship our Lord, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the King of kings. Dear Jesus, sometimes our attitude isn't so different from that of your disciple Thomas. We need evidence for our faith, because we doubt. We drag our feet when we should walk in faith. Though your word is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path, we all too often have stayed in the shadows and have preferred darkness to light. Lord, forgive our doubt and our failure to proclaim by word and action the good news of your resurrection. Quiet our doubts and give us forgiveness and faith in this life and eternal life with you in the next. In your name we pray. Amen. The God of the resurrection grants us full pardon for all our sins, and He commissions us to go forth and be a blessing to all people. May His Spirit abide in our lives, giving us new freedom and power to live by His direction. Because Jesus lives, we also live for Jesus. Amen. And we pray, O risen Lord, you came to your disciples, you took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by your word and sacrament, and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson today is from Acts chapter 5. The selected verses from that chapter. We see the power and the joy of Easter, how it's evident in the apostles as they boldly proclaim the good news. Well, may that same joy also fill our hearts with boldness to proclaim that message. We read, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, the angel said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and they began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts, teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. These are the words of our Lord. And we hear a reading from John chapter 20, the gospel for today. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. We turn to our message today. It comes from Psalm 16, our psalm for today. I'm going to start with just a pop quiz. You can just think of these answers to yourself as I question you. True or false? Jesus lived a perfect life for you. True or false? Jesus died on the cross to pay for all your sins. Jesus rose on Easter with the promise that because he lives, you also will live. And the final, true or false? Through the gift of baptism, you are attached to the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. All those answers are true. So here's the question for us to ponder. Why do we sometimes let guilt get the best of us? Or why do we allow fear to paralyze us? Or doubt to trouble us? The answer is the same for all of us. Instead of living in the present and looking forward to the future, we often look to the past. We forget that Easter always points ahead. Easter never looks back. It always points ahead. And so our theme today, as we take a look at Psalm 16, is Christ is risen. So what? So everything. Because the risen Christ is part of our lives, we are content, we're confident, and we're joyful. First of all, this psalm assures us that Christ is a part of our lives. The first two verses, "Keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I can do no good thing." Whether you're 6, 16, or 60, whether you're single or married, it doesn't matter. We all have something in common. And he's right here. He's right next to me, and he's right next to you, wherever you are. It's Jesus. He is our constant companion. Jesus became a part of our life at our baptism. Jesus cringes at our close calls. He feels your pain when you hurt, and he smiles when you're happy. He forgives you, and he empowers you to serve. Verse 3 says, "As for the saints who are in the land, they are glorious ones in whom is all my delight." Mary and Martha, Peter and James, James and John, Andrew, they were all saints. They were a part of Jesus' earthly ministry. And throughout the Holy Christian Church, we also have saints in our lives. They're saints that perhaps are living in your home. If I'm in church, saints living right next to me or sitting right next to me. And let's never fail to appreciate that. Because lots of times as we live our lives, we're not sitting next to saints. And that can wear us down. And then the final one. The sorrows of those who increase will run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations of blood or take up their names on my lips. This psalm is a psalm that points to Jesus as Savior. Everything, first of all, applies, first of all, to Christ, then to Christians. And here in verse 4, it's a reference to idol worship. And it's the psalmist's way of saying that Jesus said no to temptations, especially when Satan came along and asked him to bow down and worship him and take an easy way out. And Jesus, you recall, fought back with the word. Well, the risen Christ also gives us that same word in our lives. It's like a gun in our hands. And when Satan attacks you, you can just take that gun, that word of God, and point it at him, cock it, aim it, and pull the trigger. Christ is a part of our lives. And so what does that mean? It means we are content. A dad had a daughter who was going through a very rough time. Her heart was broken by a young man. She had loved him more than anything in the world, and he broke up with her. It broke her heart. So Dad did something very special. He sent her flowers with a note that read, "I think your future husband would want you to have these flowers today." My friends, that's the glory of Easter in our lives. Jesus sends us the flowers of our future resurrection in the middle of our life right now, so that we can be content and happy in any and every situation. The psalmist says, "Lord, you have assigned me my portion, my cup, you have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." You know, from a worldly point of view, Jesus didn't have all that much. What he did have as a son of God, he gave up when he became the son of man. Yet is there anywhere in any of the Gospels, is there anything at all that indicates that Jesus was ever discontent or unsatisfied with his life? No, Jesus was content because he knew he was loved by his heavenly Father. And because he was loved, he willingly followed the will of his Father. You know, we might not have the nicest home or the nicest car or whatever. And sometimes grass is greener on the other side. You understand that term. Sometimes other people's stuff may just look nicer than ours. And that's okay. Because my stuff is my stuff, and that's cool. Wherever you are, whatever you have, whatever we do, we are privileged to serve the Lord and find delight in his will. Christ is risen. We're content, but we're also confident. "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." Along with his contentment, Jesus also displayed another God-given characteristic, and that was he was confident. And that confidence came from trusting in his heavenly Father, who always promised his Son the glory on the other side of Easter Sunday. And perhaps nowhere is that confidence that comes from a risen Christ more evident than with those disciples that we heard in our first lesson today. The book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. The same Peter who shouted, "I don't know the man," before Easter, confidently now after Easter, tells those leaders, "We must obey God rather than men." You don't do that if a person is still dead in the grave. You don't preach like that. You do preach like that, because the person whom you are preaching about is the Almighty Son of God, who came forth from the grave, who lives and reigns in heaven. That doesn't mean life's going to be all easy. No. Sometimes life is hard. the loss of a child or a spouse, the diagnosis by a doctor, the wondering how you're going to pay the next bill, a shaky relationship, a temptation that keeps nipping you at the heels. Never are we promised that life will be easy, but we are promised, because the Lord is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And the final one, Christ is risen, so what? So we're joyful. Verses 9 through 11. Therefore my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Being in the grave for only a short time like Jesus, his body did not see decay. No doubt mine will, and so will yours. While that will be different, something will be the same, and that is joy, always and forever. The joy that will be ours forever, we have the joy of enjoying right now. With joy is hope, and with hope is joy. They go together like peanut butter and jelly. Joy and hope go together because Easter always does this. It always points ahead. There's an old cemetery in Georgia. For African Americans, there's only one white person there in that buried there in that cemetery. This white person is a man whose mother died when he was very young. His dad hired a black woman named Mandy to take care of his son. The woman was a fine Christian lady who cared for this guy like he was her own child. Each morning when she woke him, she would say, "Wake up, God's morning has come." Even when he came home from college, or later when he came home for brief visits, she would say, "God's morning has come." After Mandy died, this white gentleman stood by her grave and told a friend that he wanted to be buried next to Mandy, this loving woman, who in every way was like his real mom. He said, "I like to think that on the day of resurrection, she will say, 'Wake up, my boy, God's morning is come.'" That day is coming for all of us. When God's morning comes, it'll be a day of joy that will usher in eternal joy. But it's a joy that we have even now, because Jesus is risen. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray. O Lord, our strength, our song, our salvation, you fulfilled your promises by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Thanks be to God, you give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In your compassion, you sent Christ, the good shepherd who laid down his life to rescue the lost. Drive out all doubt and gloom that we may delight in your glorious triumph. Lift our eyes heavenward to see him who lives to make intercession for the saints, and grant us confidence in the greatness of his power. Keep before us the vision of your redeemed people standing before your throne and singing the song of victory. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive wisdom and power and honor and glory and praise. Risen Lord, make us instruments of your peace as we bring the good news of hope and joy and new life to those around us. Guide us in the use of all that you have entrusted to us, our time, our talents, and treasures. And merciful Lord, grant healing to the sick. Strengthen the faith of the suffering and the dying. Assure them of your abiding presence. Comfort them with the hope of eternal life. Gracious Father, you have restored to us the joy of your salvation. With happy hearts, we come before you and say, Alleluia. Thanks be to God. And it's in your name we come to you and pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week. Again, happy Easter.